every generation of young men and women in America has questions to ask the world. Most of the time, they are the simple but nevertheless difficult questions. Questions of work to do, opportunities to find, ambitions to satisfy. But every now and again in the history of the Republic, a different kind of question presents itself. A question that asks not about the future of an individual or even of a generation, but about the future of the country, the future of the American people. There was such a time at the beginning of our history, at the beginning of our history as a nation. Young people asked themselves in those days what lay ahead, not for themselves, but for the new United States. There was such a time, again, in the seemingly endless years of the war between the states. Young men and young women on both sides of the line asked themselves not what trades or professions they would enter, what lives they would make, but what was to become of the country they had known. There is such a time again today. Again today, the young men and the young women of America ask themselves with earnestness and with deep concern this same question. What is to become of the country we know? Now they ask it with even greater anxiety than before. They ask not only what the future holds for this republic, but what the future holds for all peoples and all nations that have been living under democratic forms of government, under the free institutions of a free people. It is understandable to all of us, I think, that they should ask this question. They read the words of those who are telling them that the ideal of individual liberty, the ideal of free franchise, the ideal of peace through justice, is a decadent ideal. They read the word and hear the boast of those who say that a belief in force, force directed by self-chosen leaders, is the new and vigorous system which will overrun the earth. They have seen the ascendancy of this philosophy of force in nation after nation, where free institutions and individual liberties were once maintained. It is natural and understandable that the younger generation should first ask itself what the extension of the philosophy of force to all the world would lead to ultimately. We see today, for example, in stark reality, some of the consequences of what we call the machine age, where control of machines has been retained in the hands of mankind as a whole, untold benefits have accrued to mankind. For mankind was then the master, and the machine was the servant. But in this new system of force, the mastery of the machine is not in the hands of mankind. It is in the control of infinitely small groups of individuals who rule without a single one of the democratic sanctions that we have known. The machine in the hands of irresponsible conquerors becomes the master. Mankind is not only the servant, it is the victim too. Such mastery abandons with deliberate contempt all of the moral values to which even this young country for more than 300 years has been accustomed and dedicated. Surely, the new philosophy proves from month to month, that it could have no possible conception of the way of life or the way of thought of a nation whose origins go back to Jamestown and Plymouth Rock.